So, sad bastards, what on earth is digital room correction and why should we care?
I think we need to first start with why you need to correct a room.
What is room? Okay, why do you need to correct a room? Like, a room is a room. How do you correct it?
Well, you give it a mark out of 10, I suppose. And if it's not good enough, it needs to do better. We've spoken about amplifiers, we've spoken about DACs, I think we've spoken about speakers, and the thing that is probably the most non-linear, or the least linear, you could say, in the thing that distorts the sound most is the interaction between your speakers and your room. So you've got sound waves bouncing all over your coffee tables and off your TV and off the walls and reflecting everywhere, and sometimes they cause louder frequencies and quieter frequencies and affect the sound in a way that you don't like. So there's a few things you can do about that. One is you can put room treatment, as in massive mattresses all over your rooms and that sort of stuff. But if you can't do that, if your better half doesn't like massive bits of foam all over the room, then what are the alternatives?
Well, just on that, Trev, let me talk to you about my real world example. My listening room is, I kid you not, 3 meters by 3 meters by 3 meters. It is a perfect cube. So I have particular peaks in the frequency range in the bass because you get standing waves and they sort of reinforce themselves. So at about 45 hertz or something like that in my room, the bass is unbearably loud. So if you've ever heard Björk's Harper Ballad, there's that deep bass introduction. In my room, when they hit the low notes, they become brown notes in my room. The sound is so loud, I can't bear.
If they become brown notes, they should be sitting waves then, shouldn't they? Because you know, you don't want to be standing when that happens, I don't think.
Squatting waves.
Yes. Well, so it's particularly problematic now in a time of no toilet paper during the COVID virus.
Exactly. So I think we've come up with a very good reason for room correction, haven't we?
Exactly.
Avoidance of unnecessary brown ones.
So what you find is the higher frequencies, they move directly out of your speakers to your ear. They don't really interact with room. And as you go lower down the frequencies, something like around 200 hertz, the music starts interacting with the room and the room becomes dominant in the sound approach. So if, like me, you have a microwave, rather than a microwave, bass becomes unbearable in here. And so I'm left with the situation where I've either got to do somehow absorb all the energy in the room with egg carton or something my wife would never let me do, or I try to do that in the digital domain, which is something I can do.
Yeah, and the other, even if you didn't have a room like that, if you're talking about bass frequencies, egg cartons will absorb or scatter higher frequencies, but they'll do nothing for bass. So the alternative is to do it in the digital domain.
I think if anyone's there and they're in a compromised listening environment, which let's face it, pretty much everyone is, you really should play around with this idea to see what it is you could achieve if your room was more balanced. That is, if every frequency range coming out of your speakers has equal energy, it should be received at your ear equally loudly. And certainly in my room, that's okay until you get to the bass frequencies and then a few of them just explode and it becomes unlistenable.
So what is it? I mean, there are people who object to using digital room correction.
Well, maybe you should define what we mean by digital room correction first.
So you, the way you do that is you get a microphone, and in the simplest form, you stick the microphone where your head is when you listen, and you measure, you send basically a frequency sweep through your room, and you measure what goes in versus what comes out. And what you'll find is you'll have a chart of what comes out of peaks and troughs. So there'll be areas where your room is boomy and areas where there's not enough energy. And what room correction does is it attempts to change those frequencies. So particularly where you've got too much
change bass. The amplitude of the frequencies.
Yeah. So where you've got too much bass in your room, what it will do is actually reduce the amount of bass that's coming out of your speakers so that when it hits your ears after interacting with the room, you get a much more even frequency response.
In a room, in a real listening environment, you don't get flat frequency response. You have peaks and troughs which distort the sound of the music, which actually hits your ears. So you spend thousands upon thousands of dollars trying to get the flat response speakers, flat response amplifiers, and your room just fucks it up. That's why we should care. I just realized we forgot to do what music we're listening to.
I haven't been listening to any new music, just playing my old stuff over and over again.
What have you been listening to?
The National.
The National?
Because they have a concert. They have a concert tomorrow in Melbourne, which they've cancelled or they've deferred to December. So I'm pretending that I'm at the concert.
All right. Okay. Any particular album?
Their latest one. Something About Find Me. Something like that.
Find Me, did you say?
Really good. No, something about You Can Always Find Me or something like that. Their latest album. It's very good.
Cool. I've been listening to
You should listen to it.
I should, yes. I've been listening to I just hate to admit this. I've been listening to an American, I think they're a thrash industrial band called Dope.
What's wrong with thrash industrial?
It's generally not very good. These guys, I listened to a live album of them playing in Russia, and the energy of the band, their interaction with the audience, and generally they're pretty good lyrics. And I've got to say, awesome guitarist, makes it a very interesting album. I quite enjoyed it. So I was listening to it today. I listened to it whilst I was washing up the dishes with my wife. And we're playing their version of the Billy Idol song, Angel. Midnight Hour or whatever it's called. And it's the way Billy Idol should have played it. That's what I've been listening to, as embarrassing as it sounds.
There's nothing wrong with a good Billy Idol cover, I reckon. I've been listening to some pretty out there jazz that was made in the 60s by a guy called Ferro Sanders. He's not the same guy who makes Sanders speakers.
Feel
free to mispronounce his name. So he's a saxophonist who was, I guess, a contemporary of Coltrane. He's much less well known. A particular song I've been listening to is called The Creator Has a Master Plan. So it's kind of spiritual, free form, psychedelic jazz, experimental. It's all over the shop. There's yodeling in it. It's really, it's great. You know, it sort of makes me think that so much of today's music can be quite boring or uninventive or mundane. And this is really worth sitting with. I mean, it's not an easy listen. I won't pretend it's an easy listen. But the guy is a brilliant saxophonist and just, you know, he's going on a spiritual journey that is out of control.
Was he on drugs at the time?
Almost certainly. Everyone was back then.
Okay, so look, last few weeks I've been giving my COVID-19 update. So as I mentioned last week, all the cafes and restaurants are shut. Now all the beaches are shut in Victoria. People doing the wrong thing, going to the beaches and socialising. Luckily, we can still go out. We can still go walking in the park. But I'm wondering when we have stage 3 shut down, which will probably mean you have to stay inside the house. Every day seems like the weekend here at the moment. Unfortunately, my alcohol consumption has gone through the roof and my exercise ability has gone through the floor. By the time this finishes, I won't fit through my bedroom door.
Make sure you're in your study with your music.
So what are the alternatives for room correction? If digital room correction is one way, are there any other ways? SP3, any that you've come across?
For non-digital room correction, I think, you can treat your room. You can put absorbing and reflecting material in your room. And the theory is that you should do as much of that as you can, because it evens out the frequency response without having to tamper with any signals.
It looks like shit, though.
most of it doesn't look very good. The other thing you can do is optimize your speaker position and your seating position, because that can make a very big difference. And even, you know, if you can move your speakers a few centimeters, half a meter in or out in your seating position, if you have that luxury, that can make a big difference.
So what about just using, like, you know, parametric equalization, just reduce the bass a little bit? Won't that work?
Well, in theory it would, but you know, I don't have a parametric equalization. Well, most people don't have a parametric equalization setting on their amplifiers.
It's called a tone control, bass or treble.
So how many tone controls do you have in yours, Aris?
I actually have them, believe it or not. My preamp has a tone control by input, so I can change the tone for the phono stage or the auxiliary input or the USB input. So take that.
That's something that the old school amplifiers used to have, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, and I think the audio purists thought that these were awful, and, you know, gradually they've disappeared, and maybe to the detriment of sound. You know, the old graphic equalizers that you know, a unit that was just a graphic equalizer. Oh, they were awesome.
I find it really interesting looking back, thinking probably 90% of my listening lifestyle, I've wanted to keep away from tone controls and anything like that. I just wanted the pure audio, not thinking about what happens as soon as that sound leaves the speakers and what my room does to it. So I've gone, oh, yes, it's fantastic. I don't have a tone and bass and treble knob. Therefore, I'm being really pure about stuff. What the fuck's happening when it hits my ear? Aris, you must have a clever way around this.
Yeah, by really good speakers that sound great. A lot of speakers, they don't really control the bass very well at all. And so there's a lot of unused bass energy, whether it's through a vent or it's through cabinet resonances or just flabby control on the bass. And it's just not tight to begin with. And then room artifacts come into it and make it even worse. But if you have a pretty tight bass to begin with, I think it helps. So that's, you know, and of course the room, just get a better room. I mean, that's obvious, right? Don't live in a cubicle. Just go get a decent room. So obvious.
Well, that would be the most expensive audio upgrade that I've ever done, or possibly most people have ever done.
Oh, yeah, some people have cables that are worth more than the renovation in your room would cost.
Exactly right, Aris. So, look, there's another thing which, you know, we have to talk about, and I guess we should actually go and talk about digital room creation properly, is in that digital domain, if you get around, you know, putting egg cartons on your walls or repositioning your speakers, there's software approaches. And I guess the most common one is people use REW. And REW is a piece of, let's call it freeware, which essentially does the same as a graphic equalizer or a parametric equalizer, which allows you to record the room. You're shaking your head, Aris.
No, I use FWD. It's far better.
What the fuck is FWD?
Right.
Forward, not rewind, forward. That's it, that's all I got.
I've lost my train of thought there. Oh, my giddy aunt. All right, so back to what I was talking about. REW is a bit of free software which allows you to analyze the peaks and troughs in your room. So as SP3 said, through a microphone connected to your computer, they send a sine wave sweep out of your speakers and measures the response, obviously the calibrated microphone, and then through the magic of convolution adds essentially the right corrections at the right frequencies such that the sound levels at your ear are balanced across all frequencies.
I think one of the things that people balk at with room correction is that, say, you go down the freeware path with REW is you get this very nice frequency response from your room, and then you have to do something with it, a bit of software that can actually apply those corrections to your sound. Now, if you've got something like Rune, you can do that.
The other issue about REW, at least what I found, is it doesn't offer time alignment. So there is, whilst it offers amplitude renormalization, it doesn't offer time alignment. So the sound coming out of it can sound a little odd, whereas things like Accurate or Dirac offer both amplitude and time alignment, such that the sound coming out of it sounds very clear, very crisp, very good.
There are some physical bits of hardware that you can plug into your system that make it a little bit easier, because one of the issues with having software-only correction is that if you've got, say, a CD player or a turntable, you can't apply the room correction to those. So there are some bits of hardware, like the D-Speaker system, or even some pro audio hardware like Behringer, which can take analog inputs, digitize them, and I know that sounds anathema to purists, but I think it's transparent enough that you can actually do it. Apply the room correction to that and then turn it back into analog to go to your amplifier. So there are some hardware solutions. Mini DSP is another one.
Mini DSP, yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
And mini DSP, sometimes I think you can buy some that have Dirac built in. So again, it's a bit of hardware you plug into your system. You have your analog and or digital going into it. You measure your room and it runs the corrections for you.
Yeah. Cool. I think we've covered everything.
I guess I have. After all this effort and all the tools and experimentation and seeing if it makes a difference, do we actually think that digital room correction in particular is actually any good? Is the end result justified on the time and the cost?
So actually, that's an interesting point, Aris. What is the cost? You know, if someone wants to do digital room correction in a domestic environment, what's a roughly cost?
So you need a mic, and an average mic, good mic, is sort of under $100. A really good mic is up.
It has to be calibrated.
Doesn't have to be calibrated if you're just doing bass, but if you're doing a full spectrum room correction, it's a calibrated mic costs you a bit more, maybe another $30 or $40. But if you want to go top end and get, you know, a fully calibrated sort of professional mic, and audiophiles tend to do that, you're looking at $600 to $1,000 or more for a microphone. You've got to get a stand, otherwise the microphone will move too much. You need to keep it steady, so that's another $50, I'd say. Then you've got a USB audio device, so you can connect a microphone and input a source from your system. So that's usually somewhere between $100 to $500. Then you need a computer to run the measurement software on. And let's say you can retask one of those, so let's not count that as a cost. So that, and then there's a software that actually does the calculation of the convolution filters. That's anywhere from free, with the result that I don't think is that good, to a service, which is like, I don't know, €100 a pop, or software, which is like $300 to $500 US or Euro, it doesn't really matter. And then you need software that supports the introduction of those convolution filters into the digital chain. And that software ranges from free to not free, like Rune, which is, I don't know, $500, at least when it was, when you could buy it outright, and it's $100 and something a year. So it's not trivial. You know, that's a fairly big whack of, you know, some cables, et cetera, you need XLR cables and USB cables, but nothing much there. It's probably of the order of, you know, up to $2,000 to do it really well.
$2,000 Aussie dollars, so not much if you're living in Europe or the US.
It's money's money, right? A dollar here is 50 cents there or whatever it is, but it's still, you know, it's still a lot of money there, just as much as it is a lot of money here. So anyway, somewhere around there. It's not, it can be really cheap or really expensive.
So I'd make two points with that. One is that some of that cost can be shared, I guess, if you like, because some of those costs you only need to use once. For example, your microphone. You could buy a microphone with a group of friends. You could buy your USB converter with a group of friends. So, you know, you can reduce the cost a little bit there. And the other point,
assuming sad bastards actually have friends, and I'm not convinced that that's true.
Yes, that's a very good point.
That's right. They tend not to socialize.
Not real friends.
And the other point I was going to make is that cost compared to, you know, people who try to adjust their sound by buying a new DAC or buying a new amplifier even, you know, we're talking first order effect here when you're doing room correction. And yes, maybe a DAC makes a third order effect if you're lucky. Maybe an amplifier makes a second order effect. People spend a lot more money, vast amounts more money, on those lesser, the bits of equipment that make less of a difference. So to put it in perspective, if you're spending $1,000 or, you know, on something that will significantly improve the sound, maybe it's worth it.
So just to wrap this bit up, is it fair to say that we all think that digital room correction can make a significant impact to the people's sound quality in their room, especially if you have a room like mine, which has Sirius bass nodes and stuff like that? So, you know, I'll put my hand up and say digital room correction is an alternative that people should think about if they have compromised listening environments.
Yes.
Yep, definitely think about it, but maybe do it for a bit and then make up your mind whether to continue.
Yeah, it's not, certainly not a cheap alternative, is it?
Not in terms of time and effort and a process. I think it's a very long process to get perfect. But, you know, that's just my view. Where did we all end up? I mean, we've all tried room correction. I'm going to hazard a guess that we all found it interesting. But where did we actually, where are you now in the process? SB3, where did you get to?
So I found one of the issues with room correction is that not only can you correct your room, you can decide how to correct your room. So you can say, I think there's general agreement that if you correct your room to be a perfectly flat frequency response where you see it, that doesn't sound great. So you can play around with tilting the curve, putting a bit more bass in, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
And you can spend a lot of time tweaking and not listening. So what I did was had a few curves that I would sort of switch between, and then I decided to leave one curve in. And then one day I decided to turn it off completely. And suddenly I heard dynamics and I heard more bass, less accurate bass, I guess.
Mm, of course.
A bit boomier.
Of course it would be, yeah.
But what I realized was, in my subjective opinion, was that the dynamics had been sucked out of my speakers. And I've got horn speakers, which are supposed to be dynamic. That's the thing I love about them. So step one, I turned the room correction off and left it off. Mm. And you'd think that was the end of the story, but it actually isn't, because I've just recently bought a D speaker room correction system. And
why did you buy that?
Because I sold one of my boxes and I had to have another box. It's clear, John. Clear. I will try this thing out and I will report back on a later episode. So that's where I'm at. I've turned room correction off, but I'm about to turn part of it back on again. And we will see what happens.
That's a bit too.
Well, I've had an interesting one. So being in a perfectly cubic room, I find that the bass nodes in my room make some music unlistenable. So I went through a journey over a couple of years where I went through using a Behringer.
Yay, Behringer. 24 notes.
Yeah, to act as a parametric equalizer to try to reduce those notes, and it did. But you know what? I just screwed around with the sound and was artifacts that I didn't like. I then went to REW and bought the microphones, etc. I found REW really confusing. It's obviously a great bit of software. I just didn't have the patience to get the best out of it. What I did get out of it, I didn't like. And then I tried things like Dirac and Accurate.
And what I found with those was they were fantastic. I could get what was such a evenly balanced sound, but clearly you can't get nodes out of your dips out of your system, but you can get the peaks out. It was life-changing for me in terms of my stereo sound. And I listened to that over a year, and I used Rune. I could put in the convolution files into Rune, and it would play, and I wouldn't notice it. And then, like SB3, after about a year, I went, well, I just turned off just to try this out and see what happens. And I had my keys at that stage. I went, well, hang about, there's a lot of dynamics there. I really like those dynamics. So then what I did is I used the internal speaker correction of the keys to its greatest effects to reduce the rear wall and sidewall interactions, and turned off room correction. So I have the room correction, which is built into the keys, but without the external room correction, like an accurate convolution file. And what benefit I get then is I get all the dynamics, a lot more bass, but I do have to put up with bass nodes, back to that old Björk problem. But I think the trade-off for me overall is worth it. There's some stuff that I like in the bass, but overall I love the dynamics. I love the vibrancy. I love the character of the sound. So after probably 3 years of listening to room correction, I've gone and turned it off again.
So Aris, tell us what you did and where you've ended up.
What did I do? I'm not currently running room correction for reasons that are to do with that I have a new system that I'm getting to know before I reintroduce room correction into the equation. So I'll probably do room correction in the next, digital room correction in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So none of us are using room correction at the moment. So at the end of this trip, what do we recommend to our listener? You know, should they use room correction?
Try it out. Yeah, they can try it out. And make up their own mind. All right. Well, that was a really fun episode. I must admit, I'm not even sure that room correction is good or bad. But for now, we're going to leave you. Next week, we're going to be talking about turntables. Well, how to introduce them into a modern system. Why should you even think about introducing a turntable into a new system or your existing system? And what lies beneath the desire to go analog instead of digital. Until then, please have a look at our website, www.3sadbastards.com. Leave us a message, ask us a question, or just remember where not to come next week. But next week, it's about turntables. Fun and games.
See you later.
See you next week.
So should we have a quick break to recharge our glasses?
Good idea.
Grumpy Bum, come on. We need you.
Aris, what are you drinking?
Armagnac.
Oh, nice.
Johnny, what about you?
Vermouth. The kids have stolen every bit of alcohol out of the cupboard. Not left with this stuff they don't drink.
You need to send them to the bottle shop and restock.
That's more likely you than me after some Armagnac. Okay, what are we up to?
What are we up to?